This leader found his passion at 16 years old when he became a volunteer firefighter. Then he became a Marine and then a full-time firefighter. He is living out his passion and calling. I'm talking about Deputy Chief Sean Downs of the DC Fire and EMS. Welcome to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast. It is with me, Dr. Donnie, and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc. Here we go. Episode 109.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, I'm going to kick this podcast right on over to Chief Todd LeDuc, also the Chief Strategy Officer, of course, of LifeScan Wellness Center. And Todd, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests this morning?
Absolutely, Donnie. Thanks. It's great to be back with you and taping another episode of our LifeScan Wellness Center's edition of the Get Balanced podcast with you. And we've got a great guest today who is a wealth of experience, and I've had the opportunity to get to know him. I think our listeners are going to enjoy today's conversation, no doubt in my mind. So without further ado, we've got Deputy Chief Sean Downs, who's the Deputy Chief of Risk Management. Is that correct, Sean?
That is correct, sir.
For the Washington, D.C. Fire and EMS Department in our nation's capital. So, Sean, Chief, welcome to the podcast. We're thrilled to have you on.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, Todd. And Donnie.
Yeah, we're excited about today's discussion. I think, why don't we start by, you know, we've got several hundred listeners, and not just from around the country, but we have some international listeners as well. So why don't you, if you would, give us kind of a little bit of a sketch of your career, how and why you got started in the fire service and where that journey has taken you.
Okay. Well, we'll have to rewind the clock all the way back to high school for that one. I was a three-sport athlete in high school and worked as a high school three-sport athlete, and apparently thought that I needed something else on my plate. So I decided to join the Bay District Volunteer Fire Department at the young age of 16 years old. I absolutely fell in love with it. Fast forward a year, my senior year of high school, I moved into the firehouse in St. Mary's County. It was really the only firehouse that had a full live-in program set up at that point in time. Other firehouses had people that would stay there certain nights of the week, but we actually had a couple of crews of young kids like myself that lived there. It was kind of unheard of down there. You know, very popular in PG County, but in rural St. Mary's County, it wasn't really the norm. But I was hooked. I mean, absolutely loved it. After high school, I went in the Marine Corps, a very short stint in the United States Marine Corps, came back home and still wanted to do it, was still volunteering. And at 21, I was lucky enough to get hired at the best fire department in the world, Washington, D.C. Fire and EMS Department. So I've been here now for 19 years. I've obviously kind of progressed through the ranks a little faster than most. It kind of seems to be the shift in the entire fire service, though, if you think about it. There are a lot of people that are in my position, not only in my agency, but in the region and seemingly across the nation with about 20 years on, that are in relatively higher positions in their agencies. For whatever reason that is, I'm not sure. I mean, I have my own theories, but it's been a wild ride. It's been a fun ride. And I absolutely love what I'm doing now here in DC.
Well, I think you probably just summed up what a lot of our brother and sister firefighters feel and know, is once you get that kind of passion in your blood and in your heart, it's really becomes a calling, right? To serve your community. And you know, it's great that you kind of figured that out at a very young age. And obviously you've advanced your career in, as you point out, a great fire department, a busy metropolitan fire department. And you're currently over Deputy Chief of Risk Management. Can you talk a little bit about what that includes and involves with a major metro department? I'm sure that keeps you busy.
Absolutely. So Washington, D.C. Fire and EMS departments, 2,200 people, give or take, spread across four platoons. Obviously, the 2,200 aren't all operational. We have about 1,700 operational employees spread across the four platoon system. Risk management literally touches every division in this particular department. And I would venture to say most departments our size, right? So simply put, the very base, the root of my job is the health and safety of all members in our organization. But what does that mean exactly? It means a lot for an agency our size, right? It's ensuring that we are in compliance with various standards, NFPA standards, OSHA regulations, other regulation laws, et cetera. It's ensuring that we are looking at things 360 degrees, not just what's pointed directly at us. It's always evolving and always trying to be better. Not only in ensuring that our members go home at the end of the day, but ensuring that we're putting things in place to ensure that they're going home in the best shape possible. They're living the best life possible, right? Like we can preach all we want about healthy eating and about working out and about doing this and that while you're at work. But if we're not teaching our members to do that 365 days a year, then to me, we're failing. So again, luckily, I work for an organization that has been committed to that under the leadership of Chief Donnelly and our previous chiefs. You know, we have four one-time full staff personnel from O2X here in our agency that work with our people 7 days a week. I mean, they're 5 day a week employees, but they work with our people on the weekends as well. They set up personal workout plans. They do all kinds of things. So I say all that to say that, again, I look at my job as more in depth than just making sure my people go home.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, we talk about all hazard provider in the fire service, but we also look at all risk, right? Because that includes such a broad spectrum from, you know, scene risk or traffic incidents or behavioral health or physical risk. So it's great that you all, and it's obvious with Chief Donnelly's leadership, having met him, you know, that focus on making sure we're prioritizing the safety and wellness of our employees. So hats off to you. And it's great to see a uniformed member of the service in that role, not to take anything away from our civilian counterparts, but so much of this job is understanding the uniqueness and the rigors of those risks. So great investment in yourself and from the department, great vision and leadership.
Hey, Todd. If I may jump in there. So Sean, you know, my side of the house here is all about the work-life balance, which is really wellness. So I'll give you the 5 second overview. My research on work-life balance and everything that I teach is it's all about wellness, from our physical wellness, mental health, social, and spiritual. Those are the four pillars that create the opportunity to be effective in our career as well as with our families. So with that said, you talked about like your holistic, the word that came to my mind is sort of that holistic approach that you take from risk management. She said it's important what they do all 365 days, just not what they do at the station. So with that said, if you think about the wellness, what's the culture like when it comes to, hey, we also want to make sure that you have if you have a family that, you have a great secure family, and is the culture a part of, that where we want everyone to try to be as effective as a parent and a spouse as well as their firefighter duties. Any thoughts on that?
So yeah, I would say absolutely. I would say that while you wouldn't find a policy in DC Fire and EMS Department about that, you will find engagement at various levels. more explicitly and probably more appropriately at the company officer level, right? It wasn't that long ago that I myself was a company officer, and we are still very family oriented in our companies. We still do birthday parties together, Christmases together, weddings, child, you know, like anything and everything that you can possibly do, we encourage each other. A running joke that I had as an operational battalion chief, it didn't matter if I was in the 2nd Battalion or the 4th Battalion, as busy as we were, I always said I could tell you which of my members had children that were getting ready to be born, which of them were going through marital issues, which, you know, and it was because of that engagement. And I would venture to say that the majority of our people in our agency, even being as large as we are that way. They are really engaged in one another and encouraging one another. And I think that that's very important, right? I think that you spoke to mental health. I think that we've all realized, rather we've experienced ourselves, that the mental health crisis amongst firefighters is real, and it's bigger than anybody probably wants to admit. And I think that one of the big components of assisting with that is keeping that family structure, right? Both in and out of the firehouse, and encouraging that family structure. That work-life balance that we were joking about before it started, and which you just referenced, I'm trying to get better with that. I wish I could say I was there. I'm not quite there yet.
You're in good company.
I figured it out. But I was gonna say, I bet that's the vast majority of us, right? I think recognizing it is the first thing, though, right? Admitting that that's an issue, and then trying to intently work on it, and trying to be deliberate in separating work from home, you know, et cetera. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
You know, you you brought up a great great point with knowing your people, and a wise mentor. You know, teach me as the battalion chief goes, so goes the battalion. So it is so important because a lot of those pressures, you know, issues that are going on within, whether it's family, home, or within the house, you know, those all contribute to that total wellness piece. So great takeaway. I wanted to see maybe if you could talk a little bit about, and kind of impressed, I think how I first met you, if I'm not mistaken, was through the work that some of you all do with the DC Council of Government. I think you all call it the COG. I had the honor to come up a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, and speak on managing Maydays. And then this past virtual one joined you all talking about early detection. But what struck me is kind of the regionalization, the regional approach, and what you all, how you view that, and what that accomplishes, and maybe where you see that going in the future. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of folks that listen, you know, sometimes fire service can be parochial sometimes. But
that's a nice way of saying that.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, everyone, when you hear that, you know what that means. But, you know, I look at, you know, your region up there, you seem to invest heavily in working together. And I want to just have you talk about that. I know we had Chief Ryan Pyle from out in Shawnee, Kansas on, and he talked about their regional collaboration and the difference it made, and they're not as large as, you know, as DC Fire. So if you could tell us a little bit about your involvement in that governance and that group and the work they do.
For sure. So it's actually called the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, MWCOG. We just simply call it COG. And what it is, it's 24 agencies around the District of Columbia, the majority of them in Northern Virginia, but some in Maryland, and including Washington, D.C. and NDW. And you're exactly right. It's that collaborative approach. The fire service as a whole, like you said, stay out of my sandbox, right? Like, this is mine. And you don't understand the problems or what I'm working on in my sandbox. When really, if you remove those walls, we're all dealing with the same problems. We're all working to the same end goal. So many moons ago, the Council of Governments got together to begin that collaborative effort. Now, I myself, let me stop right there. the Council of Governments is also broken down into several subcommittees, right? So the subcommittee that you worked with 2 years ago, and then again back in October, is the subcommittee that I'm the chair of right now, which is the COG Health and Safety Subcommittee. The COG Health and Safety Subcommittee is representative of those 24 agencies in the COG region, all working towards the health and safety of the members. So on a biannual basis, as you've participated in the last 2 years, we put together a symposium. That daily symposium or two-day event, like it was 2 years ago, is all about things that are hot button topics in the fire EMS community as it pertains to the health and safety. So this past year, we had quite a few speakers that talked about behavioral health. We had people talking about cancer reduction. We had people talking about cancer detection like you. We had one on traffic incident safety. PPE cleaning and maintenance, all kinds of different topics. The committee on the other 11 months out of the 1 year and 12 months out of the other year are steady sharing information back and forth. So we meet at least once a month, but we converse multiple times a week. And it could just be, hey, let's say, for instance, Loudoun County, Virginia experienced an SCBA issue, and they know that everybody else in the region, for the most part, is in the same exact SCBA. It's a place where they can share that information, and then other agencies in the COG region can be on the lookout for it. And they can tell us exactly how they navigated it, exactly what they found, so that we're not reinventing the wheel, so to speak, if we experience a similar issue. Again, that's all specific to just that health and safety subcommittee. There are subcommittees for anything and everything you can imagine having to do with fire and EMS in the region. One of the other ones that I've had the ability to work with is the interoperability subcommittee. And that is just ensuring that our equipment works with all the agencies in Northern Virginia or in Montgomery County or PG County or Charles County or NDW or Metropolitan Airports, you know, just so that we know, hey, we're going to go try this new equipment out, this new SCBA, this new technical rescue, whatever the case may be. We understand what will and will not work with our regional partners so that when the big one happens, we aren't caught off guard.
Yeah, no, that's what fascinated me was even with the size of DC fire, you know, and I think, you know, probably 9/11, you know, taught us that, you know, no one agency can stand alone when you look at, you know, an agency as large as FDNY and the help that they needed. You know, so to see, you know, it touched three states in your scenario and big players like yourself. And you mentioned Loudoun's one of the largest combination departments in the country. You know, to the extent that you can share best practices and recognize opportunities to collaborate, it really is a special in my opinion, unique way of enhancing the services to all the communities. And for those listeners that are out there, I'm sure, you know, that they would be happy to share with you their kind of best practices and how they've approached different items. So just something to think about if you don't have something similar set up in your region, a tremendous opportunity to maybe look at doing so.
Real quick, Todd, you did mention FDNY. It is a nice little fact about the area. One thing that we also do is contract purchasing through COG. And our buying power with the amount of agencies that are in the region and in COG, we actually have more uniformed members than FDNY. So I want to say they're 17,000 and change, and we're like 21,000 and change in the COG region. So when it comes time to purchase a large ticket capital item like SCBA or something, it's really nice when the agencies can all get on the same page, you know, for that. Come to an agreement. Everybody does the wear trial. Everybody settles on something. And we're able to kind of have the same success in those endeavors due to the size of our area.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think, you know, the fortunately, I think we're seeing more and more of this. Maybe the economy drives, you know, regional collaboration more than anything. But I think when you have entities that, you know, put it together and have that sweet spot that that works nicely, it's a great opportunity to showcase and say, you know, here's, you know, what one region has accomplished and how it can be replicated in other regions throughout the country to great benefits. So kudos to you. I know you know, you're one piece of the cog, no pun intended. So kudos to all the leadership that participates in making that a real functional and real high performing system. And that kind of segues to what I wanted to ask you next, which again, I think is maybe tied into the COG and how, again, we interacted and came to know of each other is I had the opportunity to meet actually Chief Donnelly, yourself and members of your command staff with you over at Arlington Fire. And we're going to have the Chief of Arlington Fire on later this week, taping on podcast. But we were actually there with our clinical team doing life scans, early detection physicals. And I got to be honest with you, and I think I said this to him personally, so it won't come as a surprise if he listens to the podcast. I was very impressed that Chief Donnelly, who I'm sure is chief of department for a size agency as you are, to take that much time out of his busy day to come over with the staff and actually go through the 3-hour life scan physical and the blood work ahead of time, really in my mind showed, you know, top down commitment, as you kind of mentioned earlier, for investing in the health and wellness of the employees of DC Fire and EMS. But I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, your personal experience, observations, and sharing that with us.
Absolutely. So in order to paint a better picture, I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to say that for the last 6 years, I've kind of made it a personal mission to really enhance the cancer reduction initiative in the DC Fire and EMS department. It started as conversations in 2016, which grew into policies, which grew into an entire team of people, 19 of us, being established as a Cancer Advisory Council, which grew into things we were doing post-fire for metering and for post-fire decon to what are we missing? Well, perhaps we're missing early detection from our equation. So this past summer, in the summer 21, I was actually on a COG call with some partners from Alexandria and Arlington, and they were talking about life scan. So if you remember, somewhere along the way, someone gave me your email or you got my email, and I was actually at the National Fire Academy taking a class, and you called me. I think you had just finished PT. You talked about that holistic approach, right? All out of breath and everything. But you called me, and you had stated that it was a really small world, that Chief Donnelly was speaking to a friend of hers, Dr. Lori Moore, about very similar things, unbeknownst to me, that I was now talking to you about, right? So it just goes to show that perhaps maybe Chief Donnelly and I's, our minds were on the same path, right? So no, you're absolutely right. From there, you guys did a tremendous job of setting this up within a month with the help of Arlington and the staff over there to come over for a day myself as I think I was just an on-duty safety officer at the time. It was not known that I would take over as the deputy chief of risk management. The deputy chief in charge of our medical services office was with us, and Chief Donnelly himself, like you said, came over. One thing that you said about Chief Donnelly's commitment to the health and safety of our membership, again, I cannot say that enough. He is, every action he has taken has driven that point home. And that day, probably more so than any other day, really drove it home, because you're right. I don't have access to his calendar, but I'm pretty sure his calendar's full day in and day out. And travel time over there, back, and the amount of time we spent there, I bet was 6 hours or more total. So with that being said, we took a lot from that day. We're still talking about that. Obviously, with an agency our size, the first step for us to take was to evaluate what we currently do, compare that to what we experienced that day, and then determine where we go from there. So without getting into any differences or anything like that, just simply touching on what LifeScan did that day, and that's the lane I'm going to stay in with this response, I was blown away. I mean, the professionalism from everybody in the office was amazing. We're not live, so you can edit this out if you need to, but it's never comfortable having to get fully undressed for someone you don't know. But the lady in the imaging office was, she was more than accommodating and professional in everything that she did. That was an amazing experience. It was actually quite refreshing. Making this my life's work, really, for the last 6 years, it was really refreshing to have the diagnostic imaging complete and to be told, hey, there's nothing you need to worry about. Your stuff looks really, really good. So I have to say, I was kind of concerned about what I was going to find out that day, just because that's what I've surrounded myself with. Being a rep on the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, it's what I do. It's what I live with day in and day out. And I couldn't, I'm on a podcast, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I couldn't wait to get those results, and having them immediately was amazing. So the stress test portion and the physical portion, that was awesome. And then the physical portion and the meeting with the nurse, again, very informative, very professional. You guys were set up, you had us do blood work beforehand, so we had the opportunity to review that as well. There was actually one thing in my blood work that they did pick up on. They wanted me to follow up. I followed up, and it was a result of some medication that I was on at the time, is what they told me, is what my primary told me. But again, you know, great all around, all encompassing day, and very informative. And my urgence to any organization out there, if you don't have anything in place, or if you want to know if what you're doing is the right thing, reach out by all means.
No, I appreciate that that overview, and I know you've seen this as well. I mean, just the, I think, what was it, last week, Donnie and I taped an episode with Chief Smith from Charlottesville, Virginia Fire Department, not too far down the road from you. And he had Brandon, one of his firefighters, on. I think he had 7 years on the job. And he told the story of a completely normal standard NFPA 1582 physical, but on imaging identified a bladder mass, which ended up being cancer. And he was very open and shared his story so others, you know, could take away that knowledge of it's nothing to be fearful of. It's all about what you said, committing to not only prevention, ideally, but if we can't get 100% prevention, that early detection piece. So I can't tell you the amount of Albemarle County, Virginia, another one, Sean Ryan, we've had on as a guest, where we found his kidney cancer was asymptomatic, a normal physical would have missed it and picked up on imaging. So kudos and hats off to you and Chief Donnelly for, you know, exploring and always looking at what is out there, and are there opportunities to enhance what we're doing to protect the health, wellness, and safety of our members. So really, it was a treat. I know I flew up a couple hour flight from Florida to meet you all, just because I really was so impressed that not just the chief. I mean, I know serving as deputy chief of a 900 person department as the ops chief kept me busy. So I know you all have busy schedules, and to see that type of commitment to finding, you know, what's best out there for your employees is pretty special.
Yes, sir.
I want to, I know we talked about being mindful of time wise, And I know we'll certainly glean more information when we have you invite you back on for another episode, version 2.0, which I'm sure we will. But I want to thank Donnie as well, who gave me some sage advice. And I know people glean so much information just from all the different topics that we cover with every guest. But, you know, as we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned kind of coming up throughout the ranks pretty quickly, and that seemed to be, you know, old chiefs like myself retiring out, younger chiefs moving up, and company officers, you know, very early in their career getting prepared for that next level of leadership. So from your perspective, what leadership lesson, if you had to pick one, that you could impart on any future leader, whether that's formal or informal leader, whether that's administrative side, the labor side, what advice would you give in terms of focusing on a leadership tip? And it may be one that even needs, you know, people need to think on, how do I develop that in myself?
So what I would say is, and I actually teach leadership a lot, right? I would say that the absolute best tip I could give any leader isn't something that you can learn, but it's something that you can do. And what I mean is a self-assessment, right? Like, seriously, every decision you make, every interaction you have, periodic just assessments on just your overall job. And there are ways you can do that. Look at your goals that you have set, and look at how you're chipping away at them. If you're not making movement, reassess, reevaluate. Why? You know, look at your interaction with others. Is it always moving forward? Are you getting stagnant? Are people shutting down, and why, right? Don't be afraid to reach out to others. Don't be afraid, not only across as well, up and down, you know, like, get that feedback. It's the only way you are really going to know how effective you are as a leader. I always tell my younger officers when they get promoted, and thankfully, being a rather hands-on chief, and they still allow me to do this, I get the opportunity to go down. I teach our brand new cadets and recruits their very first week at the training school. I teach cancer prevention and risk management to them their very first week, right? We tell them all the great things about DC Fire and EMS. We tell them about the pay, the shift, the retirement, the leave, everything else. And when I get them in there that first week, I tell them how the job can kill them, which is the first time they probably ever hear that, right? So, but then they invite me back to teach Supervisor 1. I'm teaching Supervisor 2 tomorrow. They invite me back to teach Supervisor 3 and 4. And I tell them all the same thing when I'm finished with my presentation. If you want to know how effective you are as a leader, and this is the point I'm trying to make, walk into a room and watch what people do. If people get up and walk out, or they shut down and they don't talk to you, you're not effective as a leader any longer. If they are your best friend 100% of the time, you're probably not effective as a leader. But if they approach you, if they engage you in a positive or a negative light, right, then you're doing your job effectively, more than likely, right? And when they do engage you in a negative manner, right, when they do come at you like a spider monkey, is how I say it, don't be afraid of that. Don't back down. Because they respect you enough at that moment to bring whatever it is that is their hot button topic to you, then work with them to find resolve on that. That to me is the absolute best kind of advice I could give any officer, regardless of age. But what I will say is, for someone like me, I think it is 10 times harder than for the 30 or 35 year chief officer in my position, because the people that I deal with are the same people that I was on the back step with not that long ago, right? So it's a balancing act, but I think if you do that continual self-assessment and you continually get better, then you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, some great wisdom there. You know, we talk about, you know, make sure we do a 360 of the scene, the building. We even talk about doing a 360. Some have called on our own health
make sure we look at it from all perspectives. And kind of what you're describing is a 360 of leadership, you know, and strategic direction. And, you know, am I heading in the right? And I hear Donnie talk about this all the time. And, you know, in our personal lives, you know, are your goals aligned with, you know, what you want to achieve?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like my almost hits the definition of my work-life balance, how I define it. It's very simple. Are your daily behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life? If they are, you're probably feeling pretty darn good. And if they're not, you probably don't feel that good. And when we think about priorities in life, health and wellness, whether someone wants to recognize that as a priority or not, it's got to be. It's just got to be. And if you have a family, you know, do you take your same leadership that you just said, Sean, you know, do your self-assessment, your family goals, interactions with your family, yep. Right? It applies. It goes the full spectrum, part of that holistic piece that you were talking about. So I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Sean. And I think that's probably transcends leadership and into life lessons and great takeaway for those audience members out there that are listening and wanting to know what they can do to work on to improve. So I want to again thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you're busy, and I know it's not easy for us to grab you for close to 40 minutes, an hour. So thank you for taking your time. I want to make sure, please send kind regards to Chief Donnelly, and hopefully he'll be listening to this and join us as part of our listening audience. Tell him I'll be reaching out to him in the near future to invite him on as a guest as well. And I know between Donnie and myself, we'll be looking to have you back on for an episode 2.0. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep the troops safe up there. And thank you again for all you do.
Thank you very much, Chief, and thank you, Donnie.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.